I'm taught now to the Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, who is out and about this morning at a hospital, I believe. So what's the plan then? What's it going to do?
Good morning, Sophie. And not just at any hospital, I'm at the Royal Free, which saved my life when I went through kidney cancer. So as a cancer survivor myself, I could not be more proud to be launching the National Cancer Plan today.
I want to talk to you now about Lord Mandelson. He's now being investigated by the police, of course, and he's been stripped of his peerage. After the Epstein files, you know, it's all over for him now, right? But the questions are now about whether or not he should be appointed to be US ambassador in the first place. So I want to ask a really specific question on this. The Conservatives are moving a vote later about whether or not the government should just publish and be transparent with all of the information they got when it comes to the vetting process with Lord Mandelson and that appointment. Should the government publish that? Will the government publish it? And how will you be voting later?
Yes, I think the Prime Minister's going for maximum transparency here. He's obviously drawing a line that I think people will understand and agree with, which is not releasing information where it might compromise our national security and our security services, or where there may be information in there that might undermine international relations with other countries. But apart from those exceptions, the Prime Minister is going for real transparency here. And, you know, in the last few days,
MPs have told him to.
Hang on a second, because in the last few days, I can tell you that no one needed to tell the Prime Minister that Peter Mandelson shouldn't return to public life, shouldn't return to the House of Lords, should be stripped of his peerage, should be stripped of other titles that confer on him that status that was given to him through public service. Far from public service and national interest, self-service and self-interest, of course, all of that should go. And the Prime Minister's led on that just as
the
first tranche of files were released.
I'm just going to come in, if I may, because I'll be honest, I do take slight issue with the fact that the government has led on this. Condemning Peter Mandelson right now is easy, right? Because we've seen the latest files. What would be more difficult is ruling him out of being US ambassador at the advice of other people when we knew that he had a long-standing and continuing friendship with a convicted paedophile, when we knew that he stayed at Epstein's flat in Manhattan the year after he was sentenced to prison. And I think the thing that I am struggling with slightly is that now that all these leaked documents have come out, everyone says, oh, he's a really bad guy. We knew this guy was a paedophile, and we still allowed people who were associated with him to be appointed to the highest office. That's not right, is it?
No, I read your piece on it, Sophie, and I think it's rightly challenging on all of this. I think that in relation to his appointment as US ambassador, he was appointed on the basis that he had considerable experience both as this country's business secretary and as the EU trade commissioner. That combined with his political experience at a sensitive time for UK-US relations and against the backdrop of global instability, it was felt that he was the right person with the right skill set. And of course, there was a vetting process and he was asked about the relationship with Epstein. Assurances were given, and I think there's a general principle people tend to abide by, which is not presuming people to be guilty by association. What the Prime Minister was clear about when the last tranche of information from the Epstein files was released was that clearly he had not been given a full and accurate picture of that association, and he was not confident that there wasn't worse to come in these files. That is why the Prime Minister sacked him rapidly. And now, of course, we know, in a way that I think people have found genuinely shocking, that as a government minister, he was also sending the most sensitive, in some cases, market-sensitive information. Now, there's a police investigation underway, as you say, and it's important that as a government minister that I don't comment on that. But I would just say, I do not need a copy of the ministerial code or a copy of the law of the land in front of me to know that what Peter Mandelson did was completely outrageous. And there is a feeling of deep betrayal here. He's betrayed two prime ministers. He's betrayed his country and our national interest. He's betrayed Epstein's victims. And of course, it's right that people ask questions about the process, his appointment sacking, and the Prime Minister will be transparent about that. I will just say one thing, though. We mustn't let Peter Mandelson off the hook in all of this. He is the person who is responsible and who is at serious fault and must now suffer the consequences of his actions, both in office and since.
You went out to defend the appointment of Peter Mandelson last year in September. You said that, you know, it was understandable that he got the job, that you're not guilty by association. How do you personally feel towards him now?
I think the same as everyone else, which is just feel completely betrayed. And look, there's outrage across the political spectrum on this, and there's outrage up and down the land. I can tell you that's felt particularly acutely in the Labour Party, because we also feel this is a betrayal of our values. That's what I think we are. And there is that feeling that, you know, you think you know someone, and then you see this kind of behaviour in office as a senior government minister, and also the extent of that relationship with Epstein after his conviction. And at the heart of this, and this is something that, you know, as a government we've been doing a lot of campaigning on and a lot of focus on in terms of changing the dial for victims of violence against women and girls. And at the heart of where things have gone so badly wrong in this country has been women and girls not being believed when they come forward. And here we are with now a convicted and notorious paedophile having got away with it in life because those women and girls were not believed because they were making allegations about someone in a position of power and authority with widespread connections. And I think that is a sobering lesson for everyone here. We mustn't have a situation where power and privilege protects against justice. And that is something that requires culture change as well as changes to law and practice.
Wes Streeting, we are out of time. Thank you very much for speaking to us today.
Thank you.